We're here today together to make a very important announcement.
Prime Minister Julia Gillard has introduced the National Disability Insurance Scheme legislation this morning.
We'll give people like me
and families like ours
the support we haven't had before.
The aim of the NDIS is simple: to provide Australians who are born with or acquire a permanent and significant disability with the reasonable and necessary supports they need to live and enjoy an ordinary life.
When the idea of a national disability insurance scheme was first floated, it created tremendous optimism. It promised much, but has it delivered? This week on The Wire, we're taking a closer look at how the NDIS is travelling 2 years into its full rollout, through the eyes of those it aims to help and those trying to provide those services. The NDIS has rolled out a new psychosocial scheme recently to help Australians with severe mental health problems, but mental health organisations are concerned about those who are getting left behind. Missy Drage reports.
The NDIS is now offering support to people with disabilities associated with mental illness. The NDIA's strategic advisor on mental health, Jerry Norton, says the NDIS is different to other pre-existing services because of the freedom it offers. Psychosocial disabilities affect at least 230,000 Australians, according to this year's Mind the Gap report. But the NDIS only expects to help around 64,000 sufferers under the new stream. Mr. Norton says there are strict criteria for accessing NDIS services.
So there's four criteria. One, they have a severe mental health issue. Two, that is likely to be permanent over their life period. Three, that they meet some age and resident requirements. And four, that they have what we call disabilities or limitations in their daily living.
These criteria are a big part of why so few people are accepted into the stream. There have been concerns that because of these strict criteria, people may inflate or exaggerate their symptoms to access NDIS support. But Mr. Norton says it would be difficult to defraud the system.
This is not a get in, set and forget. It's an ongoing dynamic process in which we work with the person, we ask to meet with the person and their representatives every 12 months, and we then adjust the scheme based on their needs.
CEO of Community Mental Health Australia, Amanda Bresnan, says the low intake is also partly due to patients' fear of the new service going wrong. She says the NDIS has already demonstrated some inconsistencies.
So I think it's how it's being communicated and how they're being actually approached to apply and to be a part of it. I think it is partly too because of some of the expertise that just hasn't been there within the NDIS, which has led to inconsistent assessments.
She says the accessibility assessment has also caused delays.
And part of it we know too, again, particularly probably in some of those more remote regions, but probably across the board, is the engagement of clinicians and particularly GPs, because if they don't provide the right sort of information to the NDIS in terms of people getting an assessment and eligibility, then that causes further delays and it means the right sort of information is not being provided.
Mr. Norton says the NDIA is working to improve the new service.
We do have some limitations and we do have some problems in regards to the system that we need to fix, and we're working on those. So we've been doing a lot of work across the country listening and talking to people about what do we need to do to improve the system.
He says there is still support available for the 91% of sufferers who are ineligible for the NDIS.
If they're not eligible for NDIS, they will be provided a continued support while they need it. So I think, you know, it is true that we are in a period of significant adjustment, but it's also true that some services are adjusting because people are choosing to use different services.
But the CMHA are concerned about the future of mental health care in Australia. Ms. Bresnan says some states are redirecting their funding to the NDIS.
Some jurisdictions too have, particularly in Victoria as a case, have withdrawn a lot of their community funding and put it to the NDIS. So I think we are going to see significant gaps, and our particular concern, as well as for people getting into the NDIS, is particularly for those people who won't be eligible because we've lost those federal programs.
This is leading to some mental health organisations shutting down. Without these organisations, many Australians suffering from mental illness may be left in the lurch. Ms. Bresnan says the NDIS was never meant to replace the mental health system.
We still need to have states and territories properly funding a mental health system for people who at points in time are not going to need really intensive assistance. And then they might be, they might go into employment, they might actually get the services they need to be stable and contributing members of their community, as again people in the NDIS should.
She says the government needs to take steps to build a sustainable mental health service which benefits all sufferers.
We know there's a whole range of mental health problems that people experience, but I still actually think in terms of a piece of work that's required is that we do actually need to have proper service mapping done, because that's actually impacts everybody across a full spectrum from complex to lower prevalence disorders. And I think one of the other pieces which is really vital is a proper workforce planning.
The CMHA say the new stream of the NDIS is important and necessary, but traditional mental health services shouldn't be forgotten. Both are needed to properly support struggling Australians.
That story was by Missy Drage.